The Underdog Sports Podcast Network presents Hang Time, a pro basketball podcast.
Welcome to the Hang Time Podcast. I'm Will Poznan. My co-host, Eagle Witt, is in D.C. this weekend at the D.C. Improv. But my other co-host, who's the best of the three of us co-hosts, New York Liberty Center, Kia Stokes, is here and ready to go.
Hello, hello. And yes, I am the best. Thank you.
I appreciate that because normally you opt for humility and it's like, come on, you know, You're the best co-host. I want to say it.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm too humble these days. I gotta switch it up.
So later in the podcast, we will be joined by the 2015 to 2016 season Most Improved Player of the Year and host of the podcast Pull Up with CJ McCollum. We'll be joined by CJ McCollum. But first, we are going to check in on the player award races and also check in on the Kardashians. But we'll start with the basketball stuff. So, Kia, let's start with the MVP race. How are you seeing it at this point in time?
At this point in time, I feel like as much as I don't want to give it to James Harden, I feel like he's definitely at the top. I mean, he's scoring outrageous numbers. Would he have like 30 some games with 30 or more points? I don't even know what the stat was. Like, it's crazy. You can't fault the man. Like, yeah, he might travel. He might get to the line too much, but what other players doing that? Like, other players can try to take his lead, but they're not doing it like he's doing it. So I can't take anything away from him. As much as, you know, I want to give it to Giannis
as much as you want to take away from James Harden, you cannot.
Yeah, I can't. Like, he's doing his thing. I can't fault him. He's a great player.
Who do you have second? Yeah. Do you have Giannis or Paul George or someone else?
Probably Giannis. I just feel like, well, his time's going to come, like, for sure. And I would be cool if Paul George got it, too. I think he's a dope player. What he's doing against this year is crazy. Especially, like, I know athletes get hurt as part of the game, but just how he's come back and his whole attitude, I feel like everything is kind of just, like, falling in line with him this year. That makes me really happy to see that.
Now, he plays so hard. It's great. I have it in the exact same order. I have Harden first, I have Giannis second, and I have Paul George third. And I think that George is closer to Giannis than I have either of them to Harden. I mean, I am in the minority in that I love watching Harden do what he's doing because it reminds me a lot of my favorite player as a kid, Gilbert Arenas, except some of the foul hunting is egregious. But I look at it like when, like, a musician gives the middle finger to the audience. It's, like, so punk rock to me. I love it.
I mean, I guess I could see that.
Like, still, old curmudgeon-y people being like, back in my day, you could hit a guy with a 2x4, and he's like, fuck that shit. I love it, man. I love it.
Yeah, that is funny. I just remember because I'd be billing Baby Spear Coach, and so he's always like, oh, NBA soft these days, and we used to go in there, and he's like, I made Michael Jordan who Michael Jordan is. And I was like, I know he kind of believed that. Like, Michael Jordan had to go through y'all to win. Like, that was kind of crazy. I watched this whole 30 for 30 before I got drafted, or, like, right after I got drafted, and I was like, damn, my coach is crazy.
Well,
like, this is going to be a shit show.
I think two things are true. First of all, I think that the NBA was more physical back then, but also the defenses they played and everything that they did on the floor was more simplified. Like, there wasn't as much ball movement, which meant there was less rotating and running around on defense. And I think the NBA is actually more physically exerting now than it was back then. And also, UFC is a thing. If you want to see people get their teeth knocked out, there are avenues for that.
That is true.
I don't understand people that are like, I want the NBA, but I want them all to have swords and clubs. It's like, so you want them to get hurt? Like, what are you missing
I think they just want to take the refs out of it. Like, they want to see, like, what are you going to do? Like, I don't know how to explain this. Like, they just want to see, like, you going against somebody who's bigger, stronger. Like, how are you going to finish? Like, what you going to do?
True.
And
yeah.
Then,
I hear
I
that.
I think that's what they want to see. I don't know. They also think that their era of basketball is the best basketball. Just like, I'm going to think my era of basketball is the best basketball, too. Like, there's obviously going to be players that are great in each stage, each era. But, like, now overall, like, my generation the best.
I will say that I half empathize with them when the Rockets are down by two and James Harden pulls up from three and gets fouled, wins the game on three free throws. Like, on one level, that is kind of the opposite of what you're supposed to do at that time. Like, it's so the opposite of Michael Jordan, but it's also just, to me, so punk rock. It's like, so I don't give a fuck about anybody else in the stadium except that I win.
Yeah, I mean, he got the attitude, and it's working. Like I said, you can't fault him. And I mean, I want to say it to blame anyone, but like the refs allow it to happen, so it's not his fault. He's just taking advantage of like the opportunity that's given.
Well, what are they gonna do? I mean, he shoots these threes and he gets his hand slapped like a kid reaching for a cookie, and it's so obvious, and it's not. It's after the ball's out of his hand, but it's like he just got his hand swatted. We all saw it.
But it's after the ball left his hand. Like, it's not even that crazy. He ain't got to fall down every single time. He's playing the game. Like, he's smart for that. He's playing the game. He knows how to play it. Like,
that's
I said,
true.
I can't fault him. It's just like, come on, dude.
Yeah.
Like, stop.
So I think that the MVP race, he's got – I think he's in a lead over everyone else. The most improved player race this year is, I think, the most convoluted one because you have so many guys who are getting better in, like, different ways. Like, you have guys like Vucevic who have been in the NBA forever, but they just made a leap this year. And then guys like Buddy and D'Angelo Russell who, in their third season in the league, just had more of a progression than you expected, even though these players are all very talented. So I'm going to give you a couple names. Well, actually, two. I'm going to give you too long of a list of names, and I want you to tell me who of them are viable candidates for most improved player. So we got D'Angelo Russell, Buddy Hield, De'Aaron Fox, Pascal Siakam, Eric Bledsoe, Domantas Sabonis, Nikolai Vucevic, Derrick Rose, Zach LaVine, John Collins, and Montrezl Harrell.
See, I wish I watched more of the NBA this season, but so I could at least have a little more input, but just going off, you know, what I'd be seeing on Twitter and Instagram, cause that's where I get my news. I would say, what's his name? D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah. That's
he played for the Nets now, right? I think he's, first of all, I just like his story, like getting kicked. I didn't say kicked out the Lakers, but kicked out the Lakers, but you know, he had that whole thing. I think just him having a good season, with a new team. New coast. I just think it's good for him, and he's doing really well for them.
I just
like that.
I think he's the front runner too, and I think that people underrate how big of a psychological like strength he had to show to basically come to the Lakers and be like, I'm honored to be drafted by Magic Johnson, who I'm a big fan of, and then the next year Magic Johnson go, well, I'm not a fan of you.
And right. Yeah, it's a little.
And just trade him across the country to the Nets, who were kind of in shambles at that time. And,
yeah
I mean, that's my guy, too.
So I hope he gets it. I just feel like I love a little story like that. I mean, I think it's funny. I read something the other day, actually, that it wasn't his fault about Nick Young and Iggy or whatever. I don't even read the whole thing. But he just kind of got blamed for it all. So I was like, oh, that's a little redemption story, redemption season.
Okay.
That's what I hope for anyways. I don't know. Like I said, I be making up stuff sometimes, so don't take anything I say too seriously.
I think the reason D'Angelo Russell partially got blamed for the Nick Young story on top of everything is he just dresses like Chris Brown. And when you dress like that, people just think you're reckless, you know? When you have that...
I never heard of that, but sure. I mean, it makes sense.
There's some guys in the NBA... that I think that they I don't know. The way they choose their clothes is like it's a combination of throwback and then with like new stuff. You know who actually is the most ridiculous dress who doesn't catch enough flack for it? Is Luka Doncic dresses like Justin Timberlake and Dick in a Box.
Really?
Yeah, he wears like thin gold chains and shiny button-ups. And it's like,
why have I never seen this?
I don't know. I'll send you some pictures. But
yeah, that's hilarious, actually.
Is this like a European thing? And you just go, okay, I get that D'Angelo Russell and – I actually think D'Angelo Russell dresses kind of cool. But Luca, somebody needs to go, look, we get that you're amazing. Let's help you dress. Yeah.
He's a rookie.
So a vet –
Let him have his moment. I feel like you got to get your own style. Like, that's his style. You know, you go in the league one way, you're going to stay that way.
Yeah. What was your style going in?
I definitely don't have one. So they're usually like jeans and chucks is my go-to.
Okay. So but, like throwback, yeah. Like retro overalls that I mean, far or no?
I do wear overall sometimes. It okay. Just depends. I just go with whatever. Like, mostly solid colors. I'm not too flashy. Like, to be low-key. Nothing special. I don't try to stand out. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, I think for most improved player, I think that the people who I think are overrated, I think that I don't think Zach LaVine should be a candidate, even though his numbers have been great, just because he always put up numbers like this. He's just getting more play. I think Zach LaVine, you know, could be a great sixth man, but I don't think he should be a candidate. And I think the one who's underrated is Eric Bledsoe, who's quietly, his numbers have been a lot better, and that's a big reason for why Milwaukee has done a lot better.
I can see that.
So defensive player of the year, I think, is the most in the MVP is pretty interesting, but I think actually defensive player of the year is the most interesting race. To me, there are three bigs and three wing candidates. So for the bigs, I got Draymond, Steven Adams, and Rudy Gobert. You say no to Draymond?
Yeah.
Because Draymond's defense has been great this year, even though his offense was rough in the first half of the season. So those are my three bigs. Are you ready for my three wings?
Yeah.
Okay, so I got Paul George way out in front among the wings. And then I got Kawhi Leonard, who's only a little further back because he's missed a bunch of games. And then James Harden, whose defense has been way better.
Man, if you don't... I'm going to hang up this phone right now.
Did you just choke on some water?
Yes, I'm going to hang up my phone.
Good, that's what I was going for. No, I think there's five candidates. I think it's Draymond, Steven Adams, Gobert, Paul George. And I'm not even sure Kawhi is a candidate. James Harden, that next year when his defense takes another leap, I think.
Oh, next year. You're just looking in the future. Okay. I see.
So,
to be honest, I haven't watched Draymond play, but I feel like a lot of his, from what I've seen in the past, not necessarily this season, I feel like a lot of his, like, defensive greatness or whatever is a lot of hype. I don't know how to explain it, but I feel like, you know, he's an aggressive person. Like, he'll get in your head. I feel like he does, like, he plays mind games with you to try to mess you up, which is a part of defense, don't get me wrong, but I don't know. I haven't seen him this year, but like, does he really like lock down people like that?
Well, that's the thing.
Like,
so
does he really?
So he is a great individual defender, which I think right now when bigs are being evaluated in the NBA, they're mostly evaluated as rim protectors, which is really important. Like, I think a lot of people, I know a lot of people have Joel Embiid as a defensive player of the year candidate, and Joel Embiid is a great rim protector, but he's not a great individual defender of centers, like guys like Cousins and JaVale McGee. And a lot of centers score a lot on Joel Embiid, like Towns, all these guys can score on him, but Joel Embiid's a terrific help defender. And Draymond's actually really good at both. He's a great individual defender. He's a great team leader on defense, and he is a good rim protector.
Well, I have to see some clips, but I don't know. I also feel so. This is the one thing that, as a big, obviously, like in college and even in the league, like some players will get defensive player of the year, and they're like, "Oh, it's just because she blocks shots and rebounds." Like that's what they only look at, and like a lot of guards don't get the recognition that they think they deserve because guards are the ones that are picking up full court, trying to deny the pass. Like guarding guards isn't fun. Well, like guarding bigs isn't fun either. Like you're basically in a boxing match for 40 minutes, but I know a lot of Defensive Player of the Year awards go to like stats, and that's like blocks and rebounds and occasionally steals. So, what are your thoughts on that? Like, what do you think?
So
Or you think it should just be
I lean away.
like who's the best one-on-one defender?
I
Like, what do you think?
I lean away from stats for except for like team stats for Defensive Player of the Year. Like, I don't think a lot of people have Steven Adams in the conversation. But he is the leader of the defense. He doesn't block as many shots as Gobert, and he loses out rebounds because he has great rebounders around him relative to other centers in the league. I think a lot more people have Paul George a lot higher in the Defensive Player of the Year conversation, but the thing about wings is they can only shut down one guy. Where Steven Adams is the key to shutting down entire defenses. And, it's if you're an elite wing defender like Paul George, you can still usually only slow down the best offensive players in the league. It's very rare to fully shut them down. But Adams can make every single offense around the league worse, which is why I think he should get a lot more credit. I think that shot blocks are a great indicator for how many shots are altered, to get a little nerdy. So it's like you can extrapolate. Like if you're blocking a ton of shots, you're making every shot more difficult. Some people think, oh, if you block two shots, three shots in a game, like those are the only shots you made miss. And it's like, when I watch your clips, every single shot. Almost every shot is being affected by the fact that you're there. You're making every shot more difficult, not just
Yep,
the shots
that's
you
what we
block.
do.
Yeah, exactly. I like this
Yeah,
new cocky Kia with
I
some
don't know
swagger.
where it's coming from. I really don't know.
I think it's just Eagle being here in spirit, channeling himself through you.
I think that might be it. I don't know.
Because Eagle would have nominated himself for most improved player, and he'd be like, based on what? And he would have a reason somehow.
He would. I mean, that's the way you got to go about it, I guess. I
Yeah.
don't
So that's why I lean towards Steven Adams for Defensive Player of the Year, because I think that's the best defense in the league. And even though Paul George is the flashiest defender in the league and the best wing defender, I mean, I'm not trying to take anything away from Paul George. I just think that Steven Adams is the most important part of that defense and is the best defense in the league.
I would agree with that. I'm cool with that if he would win. I'm all for it.
Yeah, I like him too. I know we both like him. So rookie of the year, there's really only one candidate, but there's kind of three candidates. So the top tier is Luka, Marvin Bagley, and Trae Young, and then the next tier is DeAndre Ayton, Jackson on Memphis, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I think those are the two top tiers of it. Do you see anybody in the top tier who could challenge Luka?
Overall, no. I mean, Trae Young's been playing pretty well as of lately, but I just don't think it's enough to take the whole thing. I just really don't think anybody's coming close to him at this point in the season.
I think so too. I think that even if the Kings go on a run and Bagley keeps getting better and better, it would take Luka missing games to injury, I think, for anyone else to even have a shot at the award.
Yeah, I agree. But knock on wood, hopefully nobody gets injured. We don't need
Yeah,
that.
for sure. Who do you have in second place between Bagley and Trey?
I don't know. That's tough because I haven't really seen Bagley play that much this year. So I kind of really, I mean, I would just say like Trey based on what I've seen, but I've only seen him. So that doesn't really help.
They're at a very similar level. No, I mean Trey's improvement, it's really impressive because I was actually low on him when even when he was in college. I thought that the underrated thing about Steph was how hard he worked, and just you hear Steph talk and he's all consumed by getting better at basketball. And I thought Trey was going to work hard, but I thought that if you're that frame, you have to work insanely hard. Like, you have to learn like new kinds of floaters and stuff for the NBA, like just new shots that you never had. It's like what Steve Nash had to do. Steve Nash went from being, you know, somebody who was probably going to be out of the league to an all-star and MVP because he completely changed. He added so many things to his game that wouldn't have needed to exist anywhere besides the NBA. So I didn't think Trey had it in him, but it looks like he does to be good, if not, you know, if not on that level.
Right. I mean, I'm just glad I'm seeing some growth. You know, you hate to see someone who was really hyped up and a big name in college to kind of get to the league and kind of fall off. Mm-hmm. So I love seeing success stories. So hopefully it just keeps getting better.
Yeah. I think that if the season ended right now, Trey would be in second. But if the Kings make the playoffs, that might be enough for Bagley to be in second. They'll both be first team all rookie, I think it's safe to say.
Yeah. But if you're not first, if you ain't win the whole thing, then does it really matter?
That's true. No. I wonder with all of this stuff. Like for these really, really once in a lifetime elite guys like Harden and Giannis, if they win the MVP but don't win the finals that year, like guys who are that good, do they look at that MVP and go, I don't even want to be reminded of that season? Like, some of these guys are so good that I think the only they go into the season thinking they're going to win MVP, finals MVP, and the finals every year. I just think that's their mindset.
Yeah. I feel like you got to be.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I know right now you have a clear – do you do the thing where you imagine the best-case scenario before it happens? Like, you imagine what you want to happen before it happens? Like, I know a lot of athletes and fighters will do that. They'll imagine what winning the fight – like, walking around the after they've knocked the other guy out before the fight.
Hell yeah!
You do that shit? So you have an image in your mind of winning the Turkish championship right now.
Yeah, like, well, we got a game tomorrow. Like, I envision ourselves winning the Turkish Cup, which is the thing we got this week. And then we got, like, EuroLeague. I could see us winning that, too. And then we got Turkish League. We want to win that, too. Like, I could go home with three trophies.
Yeah.
Which, and before May. Like, that's the goal.
Yeah, that'd be dope. Now, do you ever imagine, like, really cool celebrities in the audience when you're – do you imagine, like, if it was, like, the national championship at UConn – would you imagine, like, Obama in the front row and then he high-fives you right after you win? Something like that?
It kind of depends on, like, where the Final Four was.
Yeah.
So, like, if we were, like, in Atlanta, which we definitely weren't, but, like, I'm always the biggest fan of Usher when I was little. So, like, yeah, Usher could be on the sideline, like, hey, like, good shit, kid. Like,
he just starts dancing cool, courtside.
Yeah, like, pretty much. But, so no, who's... I don't really envision, like, celebrities. It's more of, like... just imagine, like, what it feel like to finally win. Like, all your hard work is paid off and you won. Like, this is what we worked for and we did it. Like, you on top of the world. Like, that's what I envision. That's not really like the celebrities and shit.
That's dope. I feel like NBA players are more likely to envision celebrities. Like, I'm pretty sure Durant imagined Rihanna being there when he won the first title with the Warriors. Like, why wouldn't you? If you're gonna imagine it, why wouldn't Rihanna be there?
Yeah, I mean, that is true. Like, why wouldn't she be?
And Rihanna, like, takes off a LeBron jersey and puts on a Durant jersey, like, as he's went. Something like that. Like, why wouldn't you imagine that, you know?
I mean, yeah. I don't know. Maybe if I speak to someone, I'll ask him.
Okay.
Like, oh, is this what you imagine? Like, oh, Rihanna takes off a LeBron jersey, put on your jersey? They're probably gonna look at me like I'm crazy.
Well, you can blame it on me. But speaking of...
I will, for sure.
Okay, good. but speaking of celebrities, we're going to move to the world of celebrity where there is a feud escalating or potential for it. Jordan Woods, who is a former best friend of Kylie Jenner, who had that title. She lost that title after hooking up with Tristan Thompson, who is the husband of Khloe Kardashian. She went on on Jada Pinkett Smith's show, which is called the Red Table. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, Red Table Talk.
Red Table Talk. And a little backstory, Jordan Wood's father was a close friend of Will Smith and a producer for The Fresh Prince. And tell me, you listened to Jordan Woods on Red Table Talk, so tell me a little bit about that.
Mm-hmm. Basically, she just wanted to go on the show, show and give her side of the story. And I guess she signed some non-disclosure, so she couldn't really say much about the Kardashians, so she focused it just on herself. But, like, long story short, she said they was at the bar, like, her and her friends were at the bar, then they go to the club. After the club, because in L.A., I guess things close early, so they end up going to house parties, and so they just happened to be on the way to Tristan's house party. She was, like, they weren't flirting, they weren't talking, they weren't cozy. He was sitting on the chair, she was sitting on the arm of the chair, but not on his lap. And basically, they was just kicking and chilling. They weren't dancing. They weren't on each other. They weren't making out nothing. And then right as she's leaving at 7 in the morning, where everybody else is leaving, he kisses her on the lips, and then she leaves. Like, that's what she said. She said they have been talking for a couple months. Like, they didn't have sex. It was just that one kiss. And she just wanted to forget about it. And that's why she lied. And yeah, that's what she said.
So when she says they'd been talking for a couple months, I feel like if they're talking for a couple months and no one else knows about it, the subject of the talking would have to be sexual, right? Like, or while.
Yeah, no. She said they hadn't been, but people.
Oh, they hadn't been.
Like, oh, yeah. People have been speculating that she was, like, him and her had been talking for a couple months. This wasn't like a coincidence that they ended up at his house. No, she shut that room down. She said, no, we don't talk. Like, so, that was Khloe's ex. I wasn't the one that broke them up. I was like, because on Twitter, because I'm reading my tweets now. And Khloe is like, no, you were the reason that you broke this family up. You did this. You know what you did. Why are you going on a public and lying? You should do this in private. And I was like, ooh. It's getting interesting.
Yeah,
so
no,
I'm
it's
excited to see what happens when I wake up tomorrow.
It is
what I miss.
I don't understand that story though, of being like, it was 7 a.m. I had not been giving him any signs all night, and he kissed me. Because I feel like the story would be Tristan Thompson tried to kiss Jordan Woods, and she pushes him away. Like,
think that would happen.
Because I know, like, if somebody's sitting on the arm of a chair and I'm on the couch and we're not even, like, flirting at all, and then I go for they'd be like, what the fuck? Because I was sitting near you? You know, like.
Yeah, and she said it wasn't as they were sitting. It was as she was leaving.
Sure.
To go. And he was like, yo, are you good? You can stay here. She's like, no, I'm good. My driver's here. And I guess as she opened the door, he gave her a kiss. I don't know. All I'm saying is her side sounds real fishy. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't believe that he's going to kiss her with no, like, randomly.
In
like,
front of
y'all
all
have been talking, or y'all have been flirting all night. And she had said, like, oh, yeah, we were all drinking and dancing, having a good time. I'm like, first of all, I know, I'm pretty sure every girl out there drinking or they're drunk, like, they like to flirt. Like, I think it's a thing. So I don't believe her when she says that they weren't flirting at all. Like, I don't believe it.
That I also don't believe. Also because two things. First of all, her friends are there. And one thing I know about girls is that if your friends are there and if a guy's flirting with a girl and her friends are there and the girl doesn't flirt back, the friends shut it down. The friends are like, hey, stop flirting with my friend. And then the other thing I know about NBA players is that if they are looking to flirt with somebody and the person is not interested, they move on to a new person, because if they're looking to hook up that night, they can make it happen.
Like, yes, that's why I'm like, I do believe her when she said they didn't do anything more than that, but I just don't think that they weren't flirting. I'm like, just own up to it.
Yeah.
Like, what's the worst that would happen? Like, okay, you were being a little messy, but, like, look who the family is. Like, they're all messy. Like, they're all not angels. They got skeletons in the closet. Like, they're not perfect people. Like, they've all messed with their friends, exes, and sisters, whatever. Like, they're not perfect. Like, I feel you just got to own up to it and then go on. Like, I feel like this whole story is way bigger than it needs to be.
Well, I think that the reason she went on the show, if the reason she went on Red Table Talk was not to tell the truth or clear up the air, seems like the reason to go on is to align yourself with that family.
Mm-hmm.
Because she doesn't want the Kardashians coming for, like, Chris Humphries has to get taken from game to game in witness protection still.
Really?
No, I don't know. But he has no role player in the NBA has more 16-year-old girls tweeting mean things at him. Like,
oh my gosh.
Like, you know, whoever. Sabonis doesn't have to deal with, like, a bunch of 15-year-old girls hating him for a thing from 3 years ago, you know?
Yeah.
So
it's just, yeah. It's a mess. And the one thing, another thing Chloe tweeted was, like, I have to find it later. But she just, I feel like sometimes you just need to not tweet your first thoughts about situations, mm-hmm. because it's never going to be right. Like, how you going to blame Jordan for everything, but you're not going to blame Tristan? Like, that's the one thing that really bothers me. Like, women, if a girl is dating a guy and he cheats, I feel like the woman always goes after the other woman. Like, no, go after the dude. Like, mm-hmm. he's the one that messed you up. Like, he's the one that did the shit. Like, go after him. But I don't know. That's just my two cents. I don't know. I don't know anything.
No, no. I 100% agree. I 100% agree. You can't be like, because I'm about to be like, that is a great point. And then you go, I don't know anything. And then am I going to go, great point, though. Like, I 100% agree with you.
I just got to say, like, but I don't know, just because I don't want to sound like an idiot if this backfires on me. So
you say
your thoughts to be like, but I don't know. It's like when you give your friend advice, like, oh, yeah, you should do this, but it's on you. So
yeah. No, I've had that where your friend's dating somebody terrible, and they're like, what do you think? And you want to be like, look, I think you accidentally fell in love with the most evil person in North America. But you don't want to say that in case they stay together. So you're like, look, man, you do you, which always works.
Right.
That's never.
It's like the best advice you can give. Like, just do what your heart tells you.
Yeah. And then afterwards, if they do a thing and it doesn't work, you go, look, you should have listened to your heart. And they're like, I did.
Yeah. Like, I tried to tell you, but yeah. You know, you didn't listen. You didn't take my advice.
Yeah. So your loyalties are kind of split here, because you think that Jordan is not telling the truth, but she's aligned herself with one of your favorite Hollywood families. So
yes.
Who, if it gets to the point where people have to boycott either Will Smith or Kanye West based on their allegiances, which side are you taking in this great Kardashian Smith war?
I will have to boycott Kanye, and I'm so sorry, because I used to love his music, but if I gotta give it up, then I'm sticking with Will Smith and his people.
But you would also have to boycott Travis Scott and the Cleveland Cavaliers, which I know you really enjoy watching the Cavs.
I don't care about the Cavs no more. But I don't know. I just feel like, I don't know. I just don't think, all right, I just don't think Jordan did anything like that bad. Like, yeah, she was messy and yeah, kind of lied, but
I think she,
like,
probably, she probably flirted hard, but I don't think she thought it would lead to a kiss, because if she did, then I think if you know that the kiss is coming and you want it to happen, you go, hey, let's do this in your bedroom. You know what I mean? Like, you don't
or
do it as
keep
you're
in
leaving.
Mind, Tristan Thompson is almost 7 feet tall, so. And Jordan Woods, I'm sure, is tiny. So I'm sure he had to lean, like, really far.
It was
so, like,
a slow-mo.
That's a lot of time you can use to dodge. Like, you could dodge that.
Yeah, it was literally,
there's a lot,
like,
of time in between that.
It's like in Looney Tunes where the piano's slowly falling on the character and you see the shadow for, like, 10 seconds. It's
like, exactly.
Yeah, it's the exact same thing. Yeah, and here's why I think that she was probably flirting. Because I think if she wasn't flirting back, the friends would shut it down. I mean, all the friends... You would hope that she has friends of that who would stop a dude who was relentlessly flirting with her in a one-way situation from encroaching. You would hope that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
All right.
What do I know?
What do you know? You're right about all of this. You're my go-to person for all of this.
Oh, all right. Well, yeah. I know everything, and okay. I'm going to leave it at that.
Hey, Kia, I need some really important advice, actually. What should I do if Jordan Woods hits me up? What advice can you give me?
Hit you up in what way?
I mean, you know, in the way that she denies hitting up Tristan Thompson. What should I do?
Just tell her, like, thank you, but no thank you.
Okay.
And keep it moving.
Okay. That's great advice. I thought you were going to tell me to follow my heart, but you actually gave me really good advice.
Aren't you married? I can't
Yeah,
do that.
No, okay. I was just curious if you were going to take a strong stance or if you're going to be like, do you? That's what, look, I would probably just be like, if somebody asked me that same thing, I would be like, well, what do you want to do? Do that? I don't know. I'm not going to tell. I don't know what some. Yeah. So I guess I'm the bad friend that Jordan Woods has and shouldn't have. She needs to just go places with Jada Pinkett Smith, because that woman knows what she wants out of life.
Yep. She got her shit together.
Yeah, man. Okay. So now we are going to be joined by. What you'll hear next is an interview we did earlier in the week with the 2015 and 2016 season Most Improved Player, host of the podcast Pull Up with CJ McCollum. Check out that podcast. It's a great podcast. We're going to be joined by CJ McCollum, and you will also hear Eagle Witt, who was with us earlier in the week.
I just want to thank you, CJ, for coming on. I do have one question, actually, before we start. Have you listened to an episode of this podcast, yes or no?
I have not, but I should have. I should have done my research.
No. It's totally fine. I'm just going to put out there that we talk a lot of shit and crack a lot of jokes, so it's not serious. So don't feel any pressure. So anyways, I do have, I play for New York. So what is your level of WBA fandom? Like, do you watch games? Do you go to games? Any favorite players?
I do watch games. I have... gained a lot of interest over the years, just learning more about the overseas game because my brother plays over there. So I know a lot about how, obviously, you guys make more money playing in certain countries in Europe. My brother's Russia and Turkey, so I've been watching for a long time. And
oh, that's crazy. I'm in Turkey right now.
you're in Turkey. My brother's played there the last 3 years, and I've seen you've obviously been very successful. My brother's played for Galatasaray. He's played Efes. And I think he played for the same team that Bobby Brown used to play for out there in Turkey. I want to say Bamberg. Is it Bamberg?
Bobby Brown?
Yeah, Bobby Brown.
Bobby Brown that plays in China right now. He used to play in Turkey as well.
Okay.
Years ago.
I used to play for Beşiktaş and then Botaş, and now I play for Fenerbahçe. We actually play Gala tomorrow. That's interesting. I
don't
know that your brother played. That's
kind of
dope, actually.
Yeah, my brother's in Russia right now playing for Unix Kazan.
Do you ever visit him? Do you visit him in those countries? Or?
Yeah, I go. So I go every summer. As soon as my season ends, I fly to New York and see my girl, and then I fly right to wherever he's at. So I've been to Greece, Turkey. I'll be heading to Russia. I've been everywhere he's played except for Israel.
Nice.
Oh, I heard Israel lit. my teammate from New York is playing there now. She's having a good ass time.
I've been to Israel, not as a basketball player, but as a Jew on birthright, and it's pretty great.
it's his favorite country, so I think we're going to do his bachelor party there. But okay. I got
You're going to get him some Jewish strippers in Israel.
Okay.
I'm gonna laugh that one off.
Well, so we're going to go back to the WNBA for a quick second. Who are your favorite players? Like, what are your favorite teams? You say you watch a few games.
Yeah, so
is there anyone that stands out for you?
I'll go with players first. Angel McCourty, I think that's how you say last name, McCourty?
McCautry.
Yeah, she's a dog. Like, she got game. I watch a lot of her. Kathy Pondexter, Chrissy Tolliver, Della Dunn. Brianna Stewart, Tina Stewart, Candice, Maya, Simone Augustus, Taurasi. One of my favorite players ever is Sue Bird. So I've been, legendary. So I've been watching on and off. I know that a few years ago, I think Diana took the year off.
Mm-hmm.
So just learning more about the WNBA game. And I think that Maya actually wrote an article this year. She's going to be taking the season off as well. So I think that's just really dope.
Yeah, it is. So have you met any of those players that you listed that you really watch? Have you met them? Do you have any funny stories about them?
I have met, let me see. I've met Candace Parker a few times. I fanned out. Just told her, like, I'm saying, like, I'm a fan of your game. It's crazy to see you. I did the same thing to Diana Taurasi. Trying to think who else I met. I met Sue Bird. I met Christy Tolliver. And, you know, it's funny because it's usually, like, you mutual fans of everybody. Like, I think they don't understand that we're fans of you guys. And then, obviously, in some certain cases, you guys are fans of us. So it's just a mutual respect that we have because of the grind and everything we go through to get to this point.
Do you think that do you think Portland would be a good spot for a WNBA team?
Honestly, I think it would be. It's centrally located. I will not centrally located anymore because there's no Seattle team. But I think based on where it's at on the map, the type of sports we have here right now, we only have MLS and us. Seattle's like a 3-hour drive away. So bringing in another sports team, a sports franchise, I think it would do wonders for the city. And I think people would respect the game and really come out and support it.
Do you think that they would get a lot of support, though? Like, a lot of fans to it? Because I like the Seattle Crazies. They're psycho, but they're big, like, sports fans in general. I don't really know much about Portland. I don't really know anything about Oregon either, except they got Nike over there.
Yeah, so I think a lot of people aren't aware of it, and I wasn't either until I came. They're very loyal fans. They love sports, they love outdoors, they love food, all those types of things. But they definitely have a passion for sports. They come to all our games, even when we weren't very good. You know, they come out, sold out arena every night. They wear the t-shirts, they come in flannels, you go out to eat, and it's all love. And they're the type of fans that have respect. You know what I mean? They won't try to shake your hand in the middle of your meal or make you take a picture with them mid-bite. You know, they'll wait till you're finished.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, so it's more of, I mean, I know you playing for Fenner, which is basically the biggest team out there in Turkey, one of the best teams in the Euro League. So you know what it's like to leave and everybody kind of recognize you, and it's hard to kind of do things you want to do at times. But for us,
she's a huge star. Well, also just walking around Turkey, though, when you walk around Turkey, I'm sure people notice. Well, Istanbul.
She's basically a rock star for sure.
It's for a black woman. Of course they're going to notice me. Like, I don't blend in. But I do got to be careful because I like to go out. So when I'm in the club and I'm supposed to be out, I got to like try to blend in. It doesn't really work. So.
J.R. Smith moments in the club.
Okay, not like that. Not that crazy. But,
y'all got serious rules over there. Curfews. You got to stay in the hotel for home games. Like, it's real over there. People don't understand what y'all go through. So I got a better respect and appreciation of how y'all have to move over there.
Yeah, and the food. Well, I like Turkish food now, but sometimes the food just be killing you. Like, we were just in France last week, and that shit was trash.
Yeah, all the French food. That is a shot fire.
I don't like it. All they ate was soup and bread.
I was in, like, a, I get in a French
chicken,
grill last night.
Some salmon, something else.
So, CJ, we're pretty new to podcasting. We've been doing about 2 months. Who is, like, do you have any dream guests for your podcast? Or any funny stories with booking guests, people not knowing what podcasting is?
I mean, I've been semi-stood up, and I apologize for being so late.
Oh, no worries.
Team got me. So, I mean, I've gone through I can do your podcast today, and then just a random cancellation. I've gone through, let's lock that in. So you lock the guest in, and then you end up recording without a guest because it just doesn't happen. I've also gotten, I really want to be on your podcast. And then we try to work that out, like, schedule-wise, and it just never works. So there's just always something, especially with athletes, because the schedules are crazy. They love to take naps. We love to just sleep randomly. So I mean, that kind of throws things off. But, like, in terms of, like, a guest that I would want to have on, I mean, I kind of have a list of players and then people who just are influential in the world. So, I mean, obviously I'm from Ohio, so Bron would be a good one. I mean, then, like, legendary people like Jim Brown, those types of people who have impacted society and the game. Looking, Kobe. I'm working on Kobe to get him on the podcast for at least 10-15 minutes at some point because that's one of my favorite players ever. I love J. Cole, so I would love to get J. Cole on my podcast. It's my favorite.
Did you watch his video? I'm so happy you said that. That came out yesterday.
Yeah, I did. I watched it two times.
I haven't seen it
yet.
What
do you think?
I thought it was cool. It was typical J. Cole, dirty Bentley. You know what I'm saying? He just kind of, you know, gave lessons on like some of the things that are happening in society. And then at the end, I thought it was cool how he had the chick shopping basically for like a new face, and then they had the baby hairs.
The baby hairs on feet. That's what we do.
Yeah, that's seen the baby hair that had me weak.
You ever get
so it's a.
Yeah, so Kia's two favorite players are LeBron and Tim Duncan, and I actually reached out to Tim Duncan. I talked to his agent about him coming on the podcast, and it was the funniest response I got. His agent goes, well, Tim, he's a huge fan of women's basketball, loves watching it. And he might even listen to the podcast, but he will do no media under any circumstances. So it's a no.
Wow.
Damn. Well, at least you tried.
Yeah, that was the nicest no I got. And then the only person who it was like kind of rough is I called Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's longtime agent, whose name is either Danielle Morales or Deborah Morales. And I called her the wrong name. I was like, hey, is this Deborah Morales or whatever the wrong one is?
Why didn't you hit her with the Miss Morales?
Because I wasn't planning on calling her the wrong name. And she just goes like, I don't know what this amateur bullshit is, but please don't call again. And I hadn't even pitched the thing. So I was like, well, can I still pitch what this is? And she's like, no. I was like, okay.
Oh, damn.
It's pretty harsh.
At least you try it. Hey,
oh, yeah. No, there's a... I have to say that NBA players have been very cool about wanting to come on the podcast, and I know you guys are super busy, so just I'm sure if
so
it
how
went.
Long,
yeah.
Oh, sorry, Will. I was going to say, CJ, how long do you go visit your brother in the summertime?
It just depends on my schedule. Schedule is crazy. In the summer, I got to do my China trip. I got like random appearances, and then just trying to mix in workouts. So. It's ranged anywhere from 8 to 15 days.
That's at least something. Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to get some people to come watch us play in the summer. You know, we're on opposite schedules, but I feel like all NBA players are mad busy, or they actually like want to rest and relax. They got their season's long as hell.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing, trying to mix in the rest. But I can rest while I'm in Europe. A lot of times, you know, I just sleep and go watch his practice, and then I'll travel and go to the games and then just sleep. And then depending on what city we're in, I might go out. But being out there in Russia, it's going to be cold. And we're far from Moscow, so I'm not sure.
Oh, really? One of my best friends that's playing Istanbul, he said he used to play in Moscow. He said it was too lit. He kept getting in trouble. I'm like, uh-oh.
Oh, in Moscow?
I need to see what that's about.
Yeah, you would enjoy Moscow. But the only problem is that you stick out because you know, there's not a lot of us out there in Russia. Yeah. So if they got strict rules, team rules on going out, you're definitely gonna be caught.
Yeah, all right, I might have to pass on that.
So, CJ, you and Kia had obviously very different college experiences. With you going to Lehigh and her going to UConn, could you talk a little bit about what that was like to be in a situation where, because like Kia, her whole team was going pro. Like Kia, how many people on your on your college team went pro?
Let's see. In my class, both of us did the year above me. Both of them did the year above them.
So, well, like, every starter.
She did. So, yeah. Majority, everyone did. Unless they... Like, we had one girl who went to school for nursing. So, after she graduated, she went to do that. But, like, for the most part, yeah.
So, So CJ, how's that compare to your experience?
I'm the only one who's ever gone pro to the NBA from Lehigh ever.
Wow.
So it was completely unique. Even when I went to school there, a lot of people were like, why are you going there? No one's ever gone pro from there before. You know, how are you going to be seen? I've never heard of it. And I used to just tell them, like, look, man, if you're good at what you do, people will come find you. So that was just kind of my mindset.
So why did you?
It's a great mindset.
So why did you pick Lehigh?
It's cool.
They picked me. I didn't really have that many offers. I didn't have a lot of choices.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't have a lot of choices. I was under recruited. I actually committed and signed early. So when I played my senior year out, I was good enough to be high major at that point, but I was already committed and signed. So my development came a little later. I verbally committed to Lehigh at 5'11".
Damn.
5'11".
What height were you as a senior in high school, Kia?
Senior in high school? 6'3".
So I was wondering, CJ, since a lot of people are asking, like, what LeBron thinks of Zion, I feel like you and Dame would be the perfect people to ask about Ja Morant because you had a similar college experience. So what advice, what do you think of Ja Morant's game, and what advice would you give him?
I like his game a lot. He's athletic. He reminds me of Russell with his explosiveness and athleticism. I think he's going to have a bright future. The only advice I would give him is to just be himself, you know, unapologetically, kind of like Russell Westbrook is. Be yourself, understand what got you here, and really take advantage of your time and work on your skill set, because it's great to have that athleticism and that speed, but you know, as the game continues to evolve and change, you got to be able to shoot. You got to be able to have pace in the pick and roll, and that'll be very beneficial and allow him to extend his career.
So, Kia, do you have any closing questions? Because I know we're on a time crunch here, and we'll have to do this again sometime because this was great. But Kia, any closing questions?
Well, I just kind of want to know, like, what did you feel like when you were drafted? Like you said, obviously, you were the first one ever from your school. Like, how was that?
It was an amazing feeling, honestly. One of the best feelings ever, just because of what I went through to get to that point. Going to a small school, being under recruited, breaking my foot my senior year, having my senior year end when I could have went pro the year before. So a lot of doubts, but it was just a relief. And then, you know, figuring out how I can impact at the NBA level, how I can impact the team. And it was an amazing feeling. And now there's the love and respect I get from my alumni and my peers from Lehigh and just around the NBA, just because of what it's like to be a mid-major. You know, you play at that level and there's always question marks, and you start to have success. And the questions change from, can he fit in? Can he play at this level? To, is he good enough to win a championship? So those are the type of things I deal with now, which is awesome, because it used to be, is he good enough to play here? Now it's, is he good enough to win 60 games and beat the Warriors?
Wow.
Man, that's dope.
I think that that's all we can I think we gotta go. But I'm fine with this part being clunky at the end because we're gonna edit it out and we're gonna cut this. Are they ready? Okay. So we gotta go. Thanks so much for coming on, CJ.
Thank you, man.
And
thank you.
No problem. Sorry about that. Hopefully I can get on again at some point and we can talk for longer.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, for sure. I don't be doing shit over here, so whenever you free.
All right, sounds good. I already know my brother, he be watching games 4 a.m.
Yeah, well, is he in Turkey? He's in Russia right now.
Yeah, he's in Russia right now. I mean, I was just texting him. So his sleep schedule is crazy because he don't practice till like 5. So he stays up late and then sleeps in.
Well, if he is in Turkey at some point for an away game, I know that Kia's a hookah. How do you say it? Hookah? Like groups?
Okay.
Hookah? Their field trips are pretty insane. Pretty dope.
I'm just saying, I like to party, so I be in these streets, I be in the clubs. I just try to enjoy myself because you're only young for a little bit. Gotta enjoy it.
Nah, that's true. I feel you on that. And if you out there in Finner, that means you're on the European side, so that's more
than Asian side.
Oh, Asian side. Oh, European side. Oh, the other one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Gala and Besiktas over on that side.
Yeah,
that's where all the clubs are on their side, but it's not that bad.
So you switch continents to go to the nightclub every night?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks, CJ, and we'll have to do this again. Thanks so much. Take care.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to the podcast this week. If you'd like to follow us on Instagram, you can follow the show at Hangtime Podcast. You can follow Kia at KStokes41, Eagle at EagleWit, CJ McCollum at 3J McCollum. And next week, we're going to be doing a mailbag episode. So If you want, you can email the show. The email is in previous episodes. But there's a better way to contact us that I think you guys are going to like. We have a phone line for the show that you can either text or leave a voicemail on. If you want to write in a question for next week, please text or leave a voicemail on 929-344-1231. That number is 929-344-1231. And we'll get to those questions next week. Thanks so much for listening.
Thanks, guys.